Fairybred would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging, for they hold the memories, tradition and culture of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the nation.
Although here at Fairybred we're careful about content, we still may be discussing topics which could be upsetting or triggering. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, Brent, how's your week been?
It's been really quick, I think, because we had a short week.
Absolutely, we did.
Yeah, and I had a couple of days not too good too, so I had a lot of things I could watch and listen. There was spare time I had, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You feeling better now?
Yes, thank you so much.
You sound a lot better than you did the other day.
Thank you.
What are you reading or watching or listening to?
So, look, over the last 12 months, I've been gradually going through, watching it for the third time, The Sopranos. Season 1 through to season 6.
Bada bing.
So I finished season 6, the last episode, just yesterday.
Okay.
So that's what I've been watching.
Right.
This week, really.
It was a very controversial ending to that particular series. How did you find it? Did you find it let you down, or did you find it was good? Or
I think I was let down the first time I saw it.
I was. I haven't seen it a second time, though.
But the other couple of times I watched it, I thought, you sort of make up your own mind about what's happened, whether Tony gets, you know, there's a couple of guys in the cafe where they have their meal, whether he's going to be shot or killed or whatever. So I think David Chase, the creator, left it up to you know, the fan, the viewer, to make up their own mind about what was going to happen.
Right.
Which is good, in a way. Whatever happened, if they'd had done that plot or this plot, people would have argued about this was better, that was better, they should have done this. So now you can just do whatever you want to do, make up your own ending.
Mm. I think sometimes it's like saying goodbye to an old friend, though, and I think sometimes you need it spelled out. One of the best endings of any series, I don't know whether you actually watched it, was 6 Feet Under. That
Absolutely.
Ending was unbelievable. That was, I mean, you it laugh was. And you cry. It's basically ties off any loose end that there ever was by running through the eventual demise and death of all of the cast members.
Podcasts, we'll leave that for later on. What have you been up to?
Well, I finished the Silver Chair book.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that. I've got that. Yeah. Yes. I put
and
it on eBay
yours.
Already.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. No. I'm sure you'll get enough to buy your own copy of a not signed one.
It'll be plasticized. I'll cover it in plastic like I do. And it'll be read and put onto the shelf.
Lovely. So, Brennan, what did you stream this week?
I think I streamed the same thing as you.
Yes, you did.
We agreed to do that, didn't we? Which was Laurel Canyon, part one. It's called A Place in Time.
Mm.
So we looked at the first hour of that doco.
And that would have been a wonderful place to be in a wonderful time in musical history, wouldn't it?
It absolutely. So Laurel Canyon, if you're not aware, is a place in the Hollywood Hills.
Yes.
And in the 60s, mid to late 60s, it was a congregation of artists that moved there, like
The Birds.
And
Mamas and the Papas. Love. Buffalo Springfield, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Oh, the list goes on and on.
The Doors.
So it's basically a rural sort of setting, and it goes from Hollywood, from Sunset, I think, all the way through Laurel Canyon Drive and crosses Mulholland, which is another famous name place in America. And the valley, it goes down into the valley. And as I said, it was rural. There were coyotes and people would leave their doors open. There was no crime to say of such. That's where the creative juice started flowing for a lot of the sort of West Coast LA sound.
Mm, mm. So actually a period in music that you are quite in tune with too, no pun intended, Brendan.
So the story is basically told by a photographer who just sort of self-imposed himself on taking photos of these guys, didn't he?
Henry Ditz.
Yeah, and he lived up there and he's got a collection of hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of photos. I must say, from the moment the opening credits started, I started to feel a bit of emotional with the Turtles.
Mm. Now, Love were a band. I've actually YouTubed some of Love's hits and I don't remember any of them.
The band Love?
Yeah. They called Laurel Canyon Oz, as in the Wizard of Oz, as in a mystical, magical land. And I actually YouTubed all of their hits and none of them even ring a slight bell.
Now, a lot of these bands too performed and started playing at the Troubadour down the road, just off Laurel Canyon, and it was a folk venue in those days.
Yes,
yeah.
And Ciro's as well. They played at a lot of these bands played at Ciro's.
Yeah.
The Birds played Mr. Tambourine Man, and Bob Dylan loved that version.
And there's another place called Le Disc.
Yes.
Which I think the Birds took off as well. Buffalo Springfield, which had Neil Young in that band.
And how did I not know that David Crosby was in the Birds? Like ever, I didn't know he was in the Birds.
Well, you learn these things,
but
don't you?
Well, that's why we actually watch these things. But that one actually surprised me. Not that I know everything, but that one I thought I really should have known that.
Maybe. Buffalo Springfield played at Whiskey A Go-Go too. That was it.
Yep.
Love Whiskey A Go-Go. Just the name.
I know. It's so cool.
They have one. I think they opened up in Melbourne too called
Whiskey
A Go-Go, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. There was a Whiskey A Go-Go in Melbourne. But I'd never been. I remember hearing it. I think there was a show on TV with Mary Hardy. Was it the Penthouse Club? The Penthouse Club. Mary Hardy
Mike
and who?
Mike Williamson was
right.
The host.
Yeah. I was going to say Ernie Sigley, but I'm wrong.
No, I think it was Mike Williamson.
No, you'd know. You'd remember.
And Bill Collins was the race caller, yeah.
Yeah. Bill Collins days.
Yeah.
And they often spoke about going to the Whiskey A Go-Go.
How's this having a house band as the Doors at your venue? Wouldn't that be amazing?
That's mental, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So all of these people are mulling around.
And it seems like it's rock music inspired by folk music. They're all sort of playing, so it's quite a nice hybrid. Talking about Buffalo Springfield and particularly Neil Young, he really hasn't changed through the years, has he?
What, his appearance or his music?
His appearance. Well, probably both, if I'm to be honest, but mainly his appearance. He really hasn't even aged. He looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he had that electrified, he had the acoustic sort of appeal. I remember when he did that album, was it Rockabilly with David, when he went to Geffen?
Yes.
Was it Rockabilly?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Now, there was another photographer too that we met, the female, was it Neurit?
Neurit Wild.
She was involved as well as taking lots of photos of the guys.
Well, she actually did the lighting at the Whiskey A Go-Go and the Troubadour and then decided, I'm going to take some photos kind of while I'm here. And she's got some really iconic, historic images of some of the bands that were there.
Now, you mentioned Love, and they were signed to Elektra.
When Elektra Records signed Love, Love had actually spoken to Little Richard. Little Richard had actually advised that the money was in song rights. So when they signed with Elektra, they actually had a clause in that they would keep their song rights. Now, strangely, Frank Zappa was also there and Alice Cooper arrived. And Frank Zappa had just started Bizarre Records and signed up Alice Cooper because Frank Zappa didn't get it. And he thought, if I don't get it, people are going to buy it. And Alice Cooper had decided that music had a lot of heroes and they needed a villain and they needed horror and theatre, which none of the other Laurel Canyon folk had. There was no showmanship. It was all just about the music and being brilliant musically.
Yeah, one of the bands that came into Laurel Canyon as well was the Mamas and the Papas.
Yes.
And Mama Cass, who was such a socialite, she would open up her home. I remember in Rocket Man, the Elton John movie too, when Elton was at the Troubadour and went up to a party in the hall in Laurel Canyon. It was at Mama Cass's house.
Yeah, Cass Elliott's house.
That's right, yeah.
Harrison Ford built the music room for Peter Tork of the Monkees.
Yes,
because the Monkees were all there too. That's another weird one to be there in amongst all that other folky, rocky creativity thing. But Harrison Ford built his music room. And I just think, look at the degrees of separation here.
Yeah, and Steve Martin, who came up to Steve Martin used to open the act for the Doors as a comedy act and play the banjo.
Can you imagine?
Well, he was funny, wasn't he?
He was always very funny, but can you just imagine those days?
Yeah, so much talent in the hills, in them there are hills, and also
one thing that I loved about Laurel Canyon and the people who were living there was there was no rivalry, there was no competition. It was really camaraderie and really supportive and collaborative.
Yeah. And what you said about the music is right, because they would give songs to, they would swap songs and give songs to each other.
But also at Cass Elliott's parties, somebody would play something and they'd say, oh, I've got great lyrics to go with that. And there'd be collaborating on songwriting, but not everyone would get the credit. Nobody got Precious. It was very peace and love. And
it was, yeah. And then Joni Mitchell was there as well. And then it's the start of the Joni Mitchell, Dave Crosby hookup. And then later on with Graham Nash from the Hollies, who came over, they came over to tour.
And Graham Nash then said, this is actually where I'd like to be. I need to turn my back on the Hollies. It was all very apolitical until everybody realised that they were in Laurel Canyon, that they were all at the age of conscription. And Buffalo Springfield had released For What It's Worth, which is the first and best ultimate protest song. But it was about youth protest. It wasn't about the Vietnam War, as other people have always thought.
So that's after the riots. I think Stephen
the
Stills,
LA riots.
Yeah, went home and wrote the song, didn't he? The protest song you're talking about?
Correct, yes.
What's going down?
Everybody look what's going down. So songs then started to become more intentional. Mamas and the Papas, Michelle Phillips, had an affair with Denny, who was John's best friend.
Oh.
And the object of Cass Elliott's unrequited love. So that's actually kind of sad for darling Cass Elliott. But with this prolific creativity came the Monterey concert, and all of Laurel Canyon was there with The Who and Jefferson Airplane. David Crosby filled in for Neil Young, who was kind of on again, off again with Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Now, Terry Melcher, you may know that name, produced The Byrds. Now, he was Doris Day's son, and he hated David Crosby. So that was when Crosby left The Byrds. And enter everyone's dream girl, Joni Mitchell. Everybody in Laurel Canyon was obsessed with Joni Mitchell. David Crosby produced her first album. Mama Cass invited Eric Clapton to her house and said, "You got to meet Joni." And Eric Clapton was besotted with her. Graham Nash got the girl, so to speak.
I remember that footage of Eric Clapton's just staring at Joni at Mama Cass Elliott's house, sitting on the lawn.
Mm. Besotted is a great word, because you can see that in his eyes.
Absolutely.
And that really does tie up part one.
And do we give this a score now? Or
well, I loved it. Yeah, I really loved it.
I've watched it about 5 times already.
Have you?
I actually bought it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you pay for it?
Yeah.
Pay-per-view?
No, I actually bought a copy. You know, I think it was about $9, that's all.
That's great. Yeah. Good for you. And that's why you're such an authority on this, but it's also your kind of music too.
It is, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've watched it, as I said, a few times, and I'll go back and watch it again and again. And, of course, we have to watch part two. So that's next week on Fairy Bread.
Time for What's My Line, Brendan?
Oh, this is where I have to guess the name of the song and the artist today.
It'll be song and artist, yes. Yeah.
And they would be songs and artists from Laurel Canyon, perhaps, and that type of...
Correct. Everybody that we're talking about lived on Laurel Canyon. Okay, first one. Imagine Me and You, I Do.
Imagine Me and You,
I Do. I think about you day and night.
That's the Turtles. Happy Together. Happy Together. Yeah.
Good job, Brendan. Oh. Good job.
Let's go for another one.
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air.
I've looked at life from both sides now.
Wow.
Joni Mitchell.
Well done. That's a really good one, Brendan.
I was listening to it today. Seriously.
Were you?
Yeah, I was having a shower.
Wow. Okay. That's so random.
Too much
and bizarre. No, it's just random and bizarre.
It is, isn't it? Okay.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. Why are you laughing? The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring.
Raises cold. That's Davy Jones out front of the Monkees and Daydream Believer.
You're doing really well today.
All right, let's go again. Come on.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by.
Teach your children well, Crosby, Stills, Nash. And I'm not sure if Young's there. Maybe.
I've got CSNY, so I'm going to say.
Yes.
Unless that's Crosby. CSI New York.
Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, yeah.
Yeah.
Teach your children.
Okay, one more here. If I could make a wish, I think I'd pass. Yeah. Can't think of anything I need. If I
The Hollies.
Yes, and the song is?
The Air That I Breathe.
5 out of 5, Brendan!
Really?
Hooray!
There's the applause. Thank you. We'll have another What's My Line for you next week on Fairy Bread, where I try and guess the line that Penny recites.
The first line of a song.
All right, beautiful. Thanks for that, Tom.
That's my pleasure. You did really well. I'm really, really pleased. Hey, Brendan, you know when you see things that are not quite right?
Actually, I was looking at the window while you were just saying that, and there's something out there that's not quite right. It's NQR. That's what I say, NQR.
Do you know what I say?
No.
Call my Lawyer!
Actually, I do know that because you've done it before.
Yeah. I was going to say you probably should know that now.
What's the case today that we're going to Fairybred Court?
Okay, so we seem to do a lot of fast food and a lot of snack foods. I'm just going to take to task today Twisties,
okay.
The little cheesy or chickeny twisted rice snacks.
Mm. Okay, what have they done wrong?
Have you ever eaten them?
Yeah. I think I had a phase of cheese and then chicken and then cheese, but I think I'm cheese at the moment.
Right, I'm cheese at the moment too. Mm. Well, their tagline is, life's pretty straight without twisties.
Ah, so does that imply that you are perhaps gay when you're eating twisties?
Well, the implication is, Brendan, that you're straight if you don't eat twisties, but you're not if you do. Would that, I mean, is that, am I reading too much into this?
No. I think that's the implication is there.
Mm.
Yes, I think that could be part of the whole Fairybred courtroom drama.
Okay, just could you pass me my iPhone there, please, Brendan, because I'm going to call my lawyer.
Fairybred fans, you may hear a bit of a rustling going on there. It's time for me to have a bit of a taste sensation. Penny's brought in a new product, and we're going to find out what's that like. What do you got?
Okay, so I've got some Daryl Lee chocolate here.
Mm.
This is a collaboration. You know, everything's collaborating with something. Oh. You've got crunchy nut cornflakes with chocolate and all sorts of things. Here's a collaboration with a block of Daryl Lee chocolate, and it's a collaboration with the Cheesecake Shop. Look at you raising your eyebrows. And this, you can read it out. It is...
Oh, the Cheesecake Shop inspired by caramel cheesecake milk chocolate. Wow. Daryl Lee, you've
really?
Done it again.
You're saying wow. I'm thinking this is going to be just...
Is it cold? Does it need to be kept in the fridge with it's like a cheesecake?
I don't know. Really. Oh, it's kind of looks speckly and weird. I don't know. You just take some. I can smell it already from
just
here.
Have one. Block, thank you, that's enough. Okay.
I can smell it, I don't think it's going to be. I mean, part of the fun is if it's not nice.
So it should be like cheese and chocolate, should it? Like a cheesecake and chocolate.
I guess, okay. Chocolate cheesecake, but it says caramel cheesecake.
Oh, yeah, caramel. Oh, as soon as I put it in my mouth, I could smell and sort of the caramel.
You don't smell with caramel. Your mouth, do you?
Yeah. And I taste with my nose. I don't look like this for nothing. Hmm.
Okay, so your first thoughts?
It's like a caramel chocolate bar, really, and a bit crunchy. Mm. Caramel's not too overpowering. Milk chocolate, a bit crunchy. Look, it's all right.
You're so kind. It's really not all right, Brendan. It's bloody horrible. You're so kind and nice. This is an opinion-based podcast. You're actually allowed to say the truth.
I don't mind it. No,
if
seriously.
I was on a desert island and I was starving to death, I wouldn't have it.
You would.
I'd give it to you.
And how would you survive?
I'd die.
Eat me. What's that like?
And yet so many other people have eaten you, Brendan.
What's that like?
Okay, so what's that like, Brendan?
It's about a 5 for me. Oh. 5 out of 10.
I'm giving it a 1.
It's now very sweet after it's very,
yeah,
very sweet.
Whoa.
I'm rescinding my 5 and giving it a 3.
Mm. I'm giving it a 1.
And it's gluggy too.
From start to finish, it's awful.
Okay, that's a new taste sensation we won't be tasting again.
No. What am I going to do with the rest of the block?
So we need something to wash down that Daryl Lee chocolate,
oh my
do you think?
God.
Now, you may remember a couple of weeks ago, Fairybreaders, that I gave Penny a new taste sensation, a new juice that I found in the stupid market.
Oh, that was gorgeous. That was mandarin juice. That was divine.
Well, Grove Juice, who produced that one, goodness from Australia, is Grove. That's what they're saying on their label here.
Might be a bit of a call my lawyer coming up.
So we had the mandarin. So this one is apple, mandarin, and passion fruit. So
passion fruit, and I love their mandarin juice. Let's have a try.
And it's a fresh new look.
Well, I don't really care what it looks like. It just looks like orange juice, doesn't it?
Mm. Oh, there's that mandarin.
Oh, that's really nice too.
Mandarin's pretty strong still.
The mandarin's really strong. I wouldn't have picked passion fruit or apple in it.
Lovely.
It is lovely. I think I like just the mandarin on its own.
Mm.
But this is very strong in Mandarin anyway.
It is, isn't it? And that's available at your supermarket now. We'd like a truckload of the Grove Juice, Mandarin Juice, delivered to the Fairy Bread recording studio. Thank you.
Yeah, just a couple of bottles each week, though, because I don't know what we'd do with them otherwise.
So what's that like? I think Mandarin Juice, I go 10. This is probably an 8.
Oh, yeah, I'd give it an 8, but it's still delicious. I think that I got spoiled with the Mandarin to begin with. Mm. I'd have probably given this a 10 if I hadn't have just tasted the Mandarin, but it is beautiful. Thank you, Brendan.
Did it get rid of the chocolate taste?
I did, thank goodness. Look, you know what? It deserves an extra point for just getting that taste out of my mouth, so I'm going to give it a 9, actually.
Okay, that's it for another week of Fairy Bread. So,
what do you want to watch next week, Brendan?
Can we do part 2 of Laurel Canyon?
Probably best idea, really, when you think about it.
Okay, so we'll give you our thoughts on Laurel Canyon part 2 next week. Now, if you like what you hear on Fairy Bread, follow us, rate us, 5 stars, of course, and we'd love you to write a review. And you can email us with comments or suggestions. The email address is fairybreadpod@gmail.com.
And you can share this episode. It's easy. On the Apple Podcast app, click the 3 dots drop-down menu and you'll see an option to share to your socials or a particular person, and then they can hear for themselves why you love listening to us at Fairy Bread. So until next time on Fairy Bread, play nice.
Wherever you play. Oh. Before we go.
Yeah.
A quick joke.
Go on. Love your jokes, Brendan.
Shouldn't laugh before them, should you?
Yeah, you can laugh because they're funny.
Okay. What pronouns does chocolate use?
What pronouns does chocolate use?
Aren't doing that Daryl Lee one.
I have no idea.
Her, she. Ha, ha, ha.